All right. Well, as I was prepping for today, I woke up this morning and told Shane what I was doing. He said, that's a different perspective. But today's actually Happy Mother's Day. But to some of the mothers in the building, some of them are single, longing to have a child. Some of you maybe are trying to conceive but haven't yet, or believing God for a miracle. Some of the mothers in here are probably missing their mothers that they've gone on to be with the Lord. Am I touching some hearts? Yeah. Birth mothers who'd made a heartbreaking decision to place their child with other mothers. These are hard things. Yeah. Mothers whose child only lived a short time, or maybe passed away in the womb, stillborns. Or maybe a mother who's lost an older child to a tragic accident or drugs or from a disease or even a family conflict that you've never seen your daughter for years, possibly, or your son or whatever. Spiritual mothers. I'm so thankful for spiritual mothers. Whatever and wherever you are on this day, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And that's okay to grieve. It's okay to be happy. And so I'm just going to say all Mother's Day to every one of you ladies. And I found this nice thing here. It's called Blessed is the Woman. Blessed is she who acknowledges her need for God, for she will receive his presence and support. Okay? Blessed is she who hungers for closeness to Jesus, for she will be filled with his compassionate love. Got to have a lot of love as a mom, huh? Blessed is she who is thoughtful of the needs of others, for her own needs will be filled. Blessed is she who learns the lessons of sorrow, for she will be comforted and will give courage. Blessed is she who keeps her heart unblemished by envy, for she will be contented. Blessed is she who brings God's peace to others, for serenity will come to her also. This was written by Dorothy McFadden. So that's my little gift to all the moms, and blessed are all the women in the building, whether you're married or not or whatever. So there, Happy Mother's Day. I hope that all of you got this little paper called How to Encourage Yourself, everything like that. We're going to do that today. One thing that if you get to know me very much is I love the Word of God, don't I? And I'm always looking for different elements of it. I try to put myself in the Bible right there with David and Goliath, so I just kind of can feel that when I'm reading. Just a little different how I read the Word. But today's message would be how to enjoy your life, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of holding on to whatever. You can still enjoy your life in the Lord. Amen? So we're going to find some hidden golden nuggets in the Bible. So let's just dig right in, okay? So the first one is 1 Samuel 36. Did all of you get one of these, at least each family? Okay, this you can follow along if you like. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And it says, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." How do we do that? How do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? We encourage ourselves in the Lord. Amen. We have to know who we are in Christ. Do you really know who you are in the Lord? Do you know that you are a royal priest? That you are a king's kid if you have the Lord in your heart? That you are called and set apart? That you are blessed? Do you know what the word blessed means? Happy. You're blessed. Amen. Amen. "The old life is gone. Behold, a new life of freedom and restoration in the Lord." That's what you have. "Remembering our past victories, remembering the times that the Lord carried you through a tragic." These are how we encourage ourselves. We think about the things that God has done in our lives, and it builds our faith. Amen? "To rely on the Holy Spirit, to meditate on the Word of God." These are ways to encourage yourself in the Lord. "To memorize Scripture, just to pray." But this is a fond idea, not only to pray, but just stop and just listen for a little bit. God's always talking. We just need to learn to listen. "Meditating on the Word, memorizing Scriptures." The list can go on and on. And then this is the greatest one and the hardest one to do, is in the time of a heartache or something, is just to begin to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because when you're declaring praises from your mouth, you're using a weapon. And we may not see it in the physical, but in the spiritual realm, we are tearing down strongholds through our praises. And so you praise Him in the storm, and God will hear you in the midst of all the turmoil, and He will turn it around. Amen? So the first one is encourage yourself with the promises from God's Word. Every promise in the Word does not change, and it's never gone, and it's faithful. Amen? Amen. The second one is the end, for no condemnation is from the Lord. Live in the power of grace. What does that mean? Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The last part of the scripture sums up whether we will walk in condemnation. Did you know it's your choice to do that? You choose to walk in condemnation. Yeah. The last part of the scripture sums up whether we will walk in condemnation. Holy Spirit will never condemn, only convict. And only to convict to bring correction. That conviction, they call it your gut feeling or your conscience. I believe that's the Holy Spirit. It's my own thing. God gave us the Spirit. We are the only living animal with a spirit. All the other animals don't have a spirit. Did you know that we're an animal? I learned that in school, believe it or not. One thing I actually learned. There's a big difference in believing in God is the lifter of our head. Do you really believe that? Have you read that scripture? God is the lifter of our head. We don't have to look down. We can look up. We're King's kids. Amen? We experienced a little bit ago the presence of the Lord. Just close your eyes and just think about crawling up on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, sitting on His lap and Him saying, I love you. The one who created the trees, I love you. The one who created the universe, I let my Son die for you. It just is, it's crazy how to enjoy our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's see. The last part of the scripture also says that who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's telling me that if you're walking with the Lord, then you're not going to feel condemnation because you're clean, because you've asked the Lord in your heart, right? You've given away all that stuff. So why would you even entertain condemnation? What I wrote down is there's a big difference believing that God is the lifter of our head, but yet it's even bigger to gaze upon Him. Have you ever just gazed upon Jesus and the Word of God? Not on past defeats or what others may think or say, or walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. In other words, don't let others mandate how you act and what you do. Be yourself. Be what God wants you to do and be. Amen? And die daily to our flesh and choose to take up His cross and glorify Him in everything we do, say, and be. Right? Okay, so that is no condemnation is from God. Number three, joy. Joy is for the journey. Choose to be joyful regardless of your circumstances. That's hard to do, isn't it? I believed in, when I was a little girl, that joy means you had to be happy all the time. Joy, 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 joy. You hear that in singing songs, joy, joy, joy. And so as a little girl growing up in church, I felt like that I had to be happy all the time in order to please the Lord. Crazy. That's not just what joy is. Joy is in the time of hurt. Joy is any time. You have that joy. You have that peace in your heart, even when total chaos is going on around us. Amen? Amen. So it says in Romans 15:13, Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy is just not happy-go. We can have joy in the midst of heartaches. We can have joy in the midst of sadness. It's a choice we make. God gives us joy for the journey. Our greatest hurts is the very thing that will bring victory to us. This is important. This is something that God showed me in counseling, that the greatest things that we're ashamed of, or the greatest hurts or past things or failures that we hold onto and are afraid to let go of or bring to the light, those things that probably some of you, me even, hold things in and hide, those very things, if you would just release them and give them to the Lord and let them come to the light, the enemy doesn't have a stronghold on you anymore because it's been exposed. But it's been exposed in a way where God can use it and turn it around and make it beautiful and use it for your testimony to reach others. That does not make sense at all, does it? Something that I would be ashamed of, I give it to God and God turns it around and makes it beautiful and part of my testimony to bring glory and honor to Him to help others in what I walk through. That's what He does. And the enemy, the liar, the deceiver is telling you that, oh, Shane even touched on it with the men. Oh my gosh, the devil knows if you learn the truth and that you start to take the steps to break off those strongholds that we have in our lives, in our minds, and on our family, that will be the very thing that God will use for great victory, and the enemy will have no more power over it because it's not hidden. It's in the light, so there's no reason to have that. I'll just let you think about that for a moment. How many times have we held on to something? Went through terrible. What if they don't like me because of what if my wife leaves me because what if rejection, all these things. You can just fill in the blank. But once you deal with that, once you bring it to the light, God can use that for His glory. Our greatest hurts is the very thing that will bring victory to us. Just think about that. Follow through with that. It's amazing. That hidden sin or thing that we are holding on to, ashamed of, and refusing to let go and give it to God and bring it to the light, the devil full knows that if we would learn, he loses. He's the loser. God will use for a great victory in our life as we're willing to lay down those failures and past hurts. He can use them for His glory and His honor through us. Freedom is a great feeling to experience. And we've been learning, I know that Bob shared from the pulpit that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and our testimony. You got to have a test in order to have a testimony. Amen? Amen. So next time you are holding something in, how to enjoy your life, hidden golden nuggets in the Bible, these are scriptures that you can have victory through. Just give it up. Why carry it around? It reminds me of that Linus that had the dirty blanket. Was it Linus and Charlie Brown? And Charlie, Pigpen. That's what I see in the spiritual realm when we're refusing to give up the things that God wants us to so that we can be free, so that we can love, and so that we can be useful for His kingdom. Amen? Amen. Amen. So that's number three. That's joy. And, by the way, let's see, where is it at? Oh, must be on down the road. If it doesn't come, I'll come back to it. Okay. And then number four, Deuteronomy, obey when the Lord speaks to you. That's a hard one because we don't want to obey. We just want to listen, talk, not really do, right? Am I the only one? Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 27. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And if you keep reading on down, it talks about the curse, but I kind of want to stay up on the blessing. How about you? Huh? So if God says, go, we'll go, right? Right. Obey. That's just a four-letter word. Just obey. Just do it is a phrase we use. Well, God said to do something, we should learn to just do it. That's easy to say, hard to do, right? Am I the only one? I mean, if God tells me to do something, it's like I fight with Him. No. Yeah, like that's going to go. Yeah, who am I to talk to the God? Yeah, right. Just do it. There's a little formula that I use, and I'm going to share my little secret with you. I learned to listen and take a second. I taught this to the ladies on Thursday morning. Just take a second. One Mississippi. That's all. 1 second. One Mississippi. To think before you speak. Pretty good. 1 second. Not 10. One. Right? We don't do that. We just are like ready to speak. In fact, we talk even before the person's done talking, or we'll talk and answer them before we even know what the question is, right? Including to the Lord. Listen and take a second and ask yourself, with this, whatever I'm being told to do, will it cause harm? Will it cause hurt? Will it damage others? Will it damage myself? Will it cause harm? Does it contradict God's word? If the answer is no to all of those, then do it. You'll be glory. It'll be fun. You may look foolish, but hey, you're foolish for the Lord because he's our dad, right? Amen. Why are we afraid to be in front of other people? If he is telling us to do or be or go, then answer yes. Just obey the Lord. Life will be so much more rewarding and clean. Conscience feels great. A clean, clear conscience feels great. Walking in the favor of the Lord is totally awesome. And learning to trust him, and not only trust him, but trust his word. And when you don't see God in the midst, trust his hand. Hold on to his hand. Amen? Amen. So obey. Obey when the Lord speaks to you. You'll have a happy life. Also, there's the fifth commandment, just some for Mother's Day. It says that honor the mother and the father. Do you know that that's the only commandment with a promise? Does anyone know what that promise is if you honor your mother and father besides the pastor? He'll add days to your life. Do you want to live a long time? Obey your mother. Obey the person that's over you. Obey your guardians. Obey, obey, obey. There's that word again, four letter. Ah. All right, let's go on. Yesterday is over. Refuse to live in the past. This is where I believe that the Lord's really working on us. Me too. We live in our past. We just do. We're flesh, right? What is flesh? What is flesh? It's this body God put us in, huh? Huh? It's our meat suit. I don't know what that means, but I hope that was okay to say. I don't know what I'm saying there. Flesh is anything that contradicts the word of God. Our flesh is our brain that tells us that go this way, and the word of God says, no, you go this way. So you're fighting the flesh, which is the black dog, and you're fighting the spirit, which is the white dog, and whichever one you're feeding the most, which one's going to win? The one that's fed, right? So we want to feed the white dog, right? So that's the difference in the flesh. Amen? Amen. So, yesterday's over. Refuse to live in the past. Did I read the scripture? Let's do that. Philippians 3. Is that where we're at? Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, this is Paul, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Refuse to live in the past. And I want you right now just to listen. Forgive yourself for your past. Some of you are looking at me like, what do you mean? I've asked Jesus to forgive me. But if you forgive, if you have the Lord to forgive you, and he does, right? And he casts the sin as far as the east is from the west. Well, then who am I to not forgive myself? Amen. Why are we not forgiving ourselves? Right? Amen. Because if I'm reading the word of God right, it says that they're gone. So when you bring it up, I don't know if he does this or not. Does God scratch his head? I don't know. But if he does, he would be, because he'd say, my child, what are you talking about? That's been washed away. Why are you living in that? It's forgotten. And if the Holy Spirit brings it up in a different realm, well, maybe it's because there's a part of it you're still holding on to that you need to give to God and bring it to the light so the enemy has no control on you anymore. See how this is working? All these things interact together. Amen? Refuse to live in the past. Forgive yourself. Then the other one is hard too. Forgive others. We'll just go on. Have a short list of hurts. No, maybe we should go back. If you don't forgive others, your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. That's what God's Word says. I don't know how many people have sat across from me and said, I refuse to forgive. What do you say to them? Okay, go. Have fun. Be blessed. Not going to work. Can you imagine all the people who spit upon Christ? And he still loved them. And what was one thing? He only said four things on the cross. One of them was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. That's right. We're not fighting flesh. Here we go again. People, we're not fighting. If I pinch you, that's fighting, huh? We're pinching. But I'm not fighting her. I'm fighting a spiritual battle. We're fighting in the spirit realm. We're not fighting each other. We're family. Sure, it's good and fun to watch, you know, girl fights, but we're not. Well, where'd that come from? Oops. Oh boy. Okay. Forgive yourself, forgive others. We'll talk about that later on too. Have a short list of hurts. Some of you probably have a backpack full of things that you're not forgiving people for. You're packing it around. Have a short list. Get rid of it. Give it to the Lord. Is any of this making sense to you? All right. Live life freely in Christ. You can't do that if you're holding grudges. And you can't do that if you're unforgivable, because it sets a root of bitterness. And that root of bitterness, believe it or not, will make you sick. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get rid of it, you will die. Did I say that? Yes. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to know that this is serious. This is one of the most important things that God talks about. It's forgiveness. And the enemy knows that. So, trust, obey, do, go, listen, love. These are all good words. We need to learn to use them in our enjoying of our life. Amen? And there's another thing that I learned that is what Paul's saying about don't look back. I challenge people when they give their heart to the Lord and confess all of their sins and bring Jesus into their heart. I say, draw a line. Just draw a line. Imaginary line right here, okay? Now step over it. Okay, and so you step over it. And then I challenge them, don't look back. Don't look back. Draw a line. Don't look back. What did the scripture say? Can you put it back up there? It says that he goes forward. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upper call of God in Christ Jesus. If we're looking back, you're no good for the kingdom. Because you're so involved in yourself. Because you're so involved in those things that you're bothered about. That you can't love others because you don't love yourself. And what's one of the golden rules? They say it's a golden rule. I don't know. It says to love others as you love yourself. So if you're not forgiving yourself and you're not walking in the things that we're talking about, then you don't have the tools to love yourself. So how can you love others? How can you be fit for the kingdom? How can you fulfill the destiny that only you can fulfill for Christ and the kingdom? Every one of us has a purpose and a plan. Every one of us has a beginning and an end. And he's the author and the finisher of our faith. I take that literal. When a book is written, it's written by the author. So if he's my author and my finisher, then that means that he's written my book. He's written my life. So he knows exactly the moment that I'm going to go home and be with him. He knows my in. He knows my out. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. So why do we hold on to these things, hiding, trying, when he already knows about them? Just a thought. I'll leave that there. Okay, so those five right there is the word enjoy. And if you notice in red going down, it says enjoy. The second part of this is your. You can choose to think positive thoughts and to have a good attitude. Did you hear that? You can choose. It's our choice. In life, everything is a choice. We can choose to do or be. Right? Right. Is this helping anybody? Yep. All right. Why? Philippians 4:8. I love this scripture. You know why? Because Paul was in jail when he wrote this. I mean, if I was in jail, I certainly would not be writing this. I would be writing other things like, poor me, get me out of here, stuff like that. All right, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of a good report, if there's any virtue, which is power, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. All right, that's not a suggestion. That's actually, I would say, a command that Paul's saying to us. You want to have victory in your life? Then think upon positive. Think upon this. Don't think upon the negative. You can literally get yourself sick by thinking about it. Try it. I did. Got a headache. Wished I didn't do that. Wish I took it back. Life is a choice, and we get to make it. Have a positive attitude and believe that God says and do it. Or choose to be negative, downtrodden with lots of drama, and have a poor poverty mentality. It's your choice. Wow, I think I'll choose number two. What fun. To always be negative, downtrodden with lots of drama, and have poor poverty mentality. Huh? Huh? We just experienced the presence of the Lord. We did. Did it feel downtrodden, negative? No. No, it didn't. And we can have that all the time. We can have that all the time. You just have to believe. Believe. It says, if you believe as a little mustard seed, have you seen a mustard seed? It's not yellow, just FYI. It's a little tiny mustard seed. You can hardly see it. If you looked at it, you'd have to like try it. He says, if you just have that much faith, you can move the mountain. And in what is the mountain? The mountain is whatever's bothering you. The mountain is whatever's got you tied down. The mountain is all those things that we're ashamed of that we don't want to bring to the Lord, because what if they knew that? They wouldn't love me. What if they knew that? They would reject me. What a. Well, we're a family of God. And if you're hurting, I'm hurting, because we're the body. If you're the big finger and I'm the little pinky, I really need you for balance. And if you're having issues, I need you better. And you need me better, because you need the pinky too. And if you have the index finger, you can't shoot a gun. Well, maybe you can. I don't know, but it's a nice one to have, right? Amen. So life's the choice we get to make. Have a positive attitude and believe what God says and do it. And this is something I want you to remember too. You have a choice. You have a choice. I give you freedom to have a choice. You do. He's not going to make you. You get a choice. You can choose this, okay? No one can steal your joy. Did you hear that? No one can steal your joy from you. No one can make you angry or mad unless you let them. Just think about that. No one can steal your joy. No one can make you mad unless you make a conscious choice to let them. That's when that real hard inner with the Lord, like, okay, God, I need you here. Can you just carry me right now? Because I'm getting angry. I can feel it in my bones. Lord, I need you right now. Amen? Amen. See yourself as God sees you when those times are coming. See yourself as God sees you. How do you see yourself versus how God sees you? Have you even read it in the Word, how He sees you? Do you even know how God sees you? We just assume that we all know. Maybe you don't. Let me tell you. See yourself as God sees you. He sees you redeemed. When you go and buy something, you'll pay whatever it costs for something if you really need it, right? You'll pay whatever they say, unless you're at a yard sale and then you dicker. But you may end up paying it anyway. But Jesus gave His whole life for you to be redeemed. That was the price tag. You are saved. What does that mean? You're saved. What is it when you're safe? You're there. You're comfort. You're safe. You're saved. You're set apart for God. We're set apart. He goes before us. He goes behind us. He's beside us. And just FYI, I learned this. Do you know that there's 365 fear nots in the Bible? Go count them. Talks about it. How many days are in a year? Well, in, go figure. So what does that mean? I don't think we're supposed to be fearing and worrying about us, right? That's right. I can go right off on that and go to Matthew where it says to take no thought in what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Take no thought in this. Why? Because I've got you. I know you. I've got you right here. I'm going to take care of you. Stop worrying. Stop having anxiety. Will you please stop getting old fast? Because I really need you to use for the kingdom. Okay? Yeah. Preach it. All right. I like her. All right. And this is one that is really hard to take on, but it's royalty. We are king's kids. We don't even understand what the kingdom means because we're Western culture. I had to go to Nigeria to realize what that meant, kingdom. Kingdom means that the king is the one. He has all authority. Well, who's our king? All right, he has all authority. We're to bow to him. We're to do what he says. People just don't go into the king and demand. He'll kill you. Head, what does it say? Take their head off or whatever, the guillotine, whatever. That was in the old days, but whatever. So we are king's kids, and this is one, this is just for Pastor Shane because he likes the country. Jesus is kinfolk to you. We are kinfolk. Yeah. And this is another. These are all scriptures in the Bible. These are hidden nuggets of gold you should catch. We are wonderful and fearfully made in his image. God made you the way he wants you because you're going to reach people I will never reach, and vice versa. So quit trying to, I don't know, look like who's the big star right now that's the beautiful one. We don't care. God loves you just the way you are. Okay? That's right. Do not need to please others. We don't need to please others. We just need to please the Lord. Okay? Tell yourself, I do not have to please others. I do not have to. I please the Lord. If they make you do or say or go and do something that's against God's word, you don't have to. It's freedom. You don't have to. Say, Yeah. Just please obey God the Father, his Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit's guidance. It's not just that. Trinity, three. Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Father. Amen? Let me read it in context. We do not need to please others. We just need to please and obey God the Father, his Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit's guidance. And I added this. This is me. Have an attitude of gratitude. When's the last time you just went to the Lord and said, thank you, Lord? And just rest in his arms instead of always needy. Just rest in his arms. Amen? Let's go on. I like this one. This one's outlaw stinking thinking. Take everything ungodly thoughts captive. This is where the enemy can really get you. And this is a golden nugget that you need to highlight in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Actually, and it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. That's what I was talking about. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or human. Hey, I heard me. Get off Facebook. Pastor Shane. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's a choice you can make. And so that 1 second rule, when something's in front of you, you have 1 second to decide, is this of God or is this not? If it's not, then I'm going to cast it out because it's exalting itself above the Lord. Amen? That's addictions. That's everything. It's hard. It's work. Christianity is work. It's just not fun. But then it is fun. Because when you're with the Lord in the presence of God, oh, wow, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. And to walk in freedom and have a clean conscience and love others. And it doesn't matter what's going on around us. We know that God's in control. Amen? Amen. Gosh, this is exciting. Our brain, our mind is the battlefield. It really is. And that's what this is talking about, to take every thought into captivity. Because if we stop and think about something, then we'll act upon it. So it's real important that when something comes in your eye gate or your ear gate, it's very important to take that second and say, okay, is this good? Is this not? And throw it out or keep it. Okay? Just learn that. Stinking thinking. So learn to take captive every thought, everything that goes against what is right, and cast it and replace it with God's word, God's blessings, the fruit of the Spirit. And we have to fight the devil on his turf instead of on ours. With the Holy Spirit's help, you can do that. You don't have to take on. We've got a Heavenly Father who's given us all the tools to take on. Don't go looking for a fight. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we are victorious and the enemy is under our feet. Our mind, you have control over it, because when you ask the Lord in you, behold, all things are new. And he has washed your mind with the word. The only problem is, where's my Bible? The only problem is that if you're not filling your mind with the word of God, then you aren't able to fight off. That's why it's so important to get into the word. That's why it's so important to have these golden nuggets. Because without the golden nuggets, you can't fight. It's like driving a car. Pastor Shane said, if you don't put gas in it, you're only going to go so far. Amen? Just like yesterday, their excavator ran out of gas. You said you used up a whole tank of gas, right? But if you didn't fill it back up, it's no use. If you don't fill yourself with the Word of God, if you don't fill yourself with prayer, meditation, and all the things that we learned about in joy and for all those up above, encouragement, then you're not going to be able to fight. You won't have your tools. I like that, the get up bucket, kind of like in the spiritual realm, we need a get up bucket. Really, that's, you could use that for this. Absolutely. Yes. So learn to take captive every thought, everything that goes against what's right, and cast it and replace it with God's words. Fight the devil on his term, okay? There's so much more to share there, but that's the golden nugget. So take that one. Okay. The you, use your gifts and talents to keep others, to help others. Amen. Help others. Romans 12:13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. That's a novel idea. Use what God gives us for helping others, to help them in deeds, walking out instead of just talking it. If you ever someone asks you for something and you say, oh yeah, I'll pray for you. But, you know, I could really use, nah, I'll pray for you. Does that help working out the need? I don't know. The best way to get out of debt is to give what you need. That is a true, true statement. It's the only place in the Bible where God says to prove him is in our finances. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. If you want to get yourself out of debt, the best way to get yourself out of debt is to give. Because the only way that you are going to be blessed is to not live under the curse in Malachi. Chapter 3, if you go and read that, talks about it. We're robbing God if we're not paying our tithe, which is only 10%. And if you're living on 100% of curse money, that's not really good. 90% of blessed money is much better. I'm just throwing that out there. These are things, these are golden nuggets to help you enjoy your life for the Lord. Amen? All right. I just need to read this again. Use what God gives us for helping others in deeds, walking out instead of just talking it. The best way to get out of debt is to give what you need. If you need food, give food. If you need money, give money. If you need a new car, pray for a car. If you have an old car, give it away. It's just, okay? Test it. It's the only place in the Bible where God says that you can prove him now and see if he would not open up heaven and pour out a blessing on you. Amen? Okay. Also, by focusing on others and helping them, in turn, you get blessed. In turn, you get blessed, and that your needs will be met as well. Feeling depressed or defeated, just start doing for others. It's true. When I have people come into counseling, they're just depressed and sad, and they don't have no money, and they're just, oh, me, oh, my, I think I'll go out and just die. I say, well, what have you done lately? Just sit home. I say, well, why don't you bake a cake or cookies or go see somebody? And it just builds your spirits, just to help somebody, just to smile, just to call someone on the phone. It doesn't cost you anything but time. Just show love. God has given us gifts to use for him and to bless others. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, let's go on. What's the next one? Psalms 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember what God has done. And in turn, you can remember what you have done for him. Oh, what have you done for him? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember what God has done for you. And for you, and in turn, you can remember what you have done for him. When is the last time you just said thank you, Lord? Just spent time praising him with all your heart, soul, mind, with your very life. God is so good all the time. Share his goodness with others. And this is important. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it gives life, it gives freedom, it gives hope, it gives joy, it gives peace to the lost. And there's a lot of people who are lost. And we have inside us what they need. Are you sharing it with them? Glorify God. Let's go on. The last ones, and I'm going to hurry up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That's hard to do, because we see, we know, we feel, but we're told here to walk by faith, not by sight. That means that we are to walk by what we know, God's word. That means that we're to walk by his word, his ways, not by what we think or feel. Amen? Feelings and emotions cannot get you in trouble. Did you know that? Your feelings and emotions don't get you in trouble. They are neither right or wrong. They're just feelings. And God has given each one of us those, even the men. He's given you feelings. It's the actions from them that get us in trouble. Did you hear that? It's not the feelings. It's not the emotion. It's what we do, what we act upon those feelings. That's where you get in trouble. So this is so important to my heart. Because there's so many people who have feelings. God's given you feelings of hurt, feelings of sadness, feelings of joy. And we are not willing to experience them. And we're not willing to validate those in us because of lies from the enemy that says, oh, you're weak. In little girls and boys, as they were growing up, little boys, get up, don't cry, be a man. Little girls, oh, stop. You'll be all right. Don't worry about it. I'll give you something to cry about. Have you heard any of those things? Yeah. They didn't give the little kids an opportunity to validate their feelings. So what do we do with them? We put them inside, put them inside, put them inside. What happens when you stuff something really tight and then you light it? Volcanoes, right? Yeah. The lie we have accepted to not show our emotions or feelings because it would show weakness and not glorify or honor God. Unfortunately, that's in the Christian walk. People with testimonies and things. And I was taught in Sunday school that you're to be happy all the time if you're a Christian. You're not supposed to be sad, because that doesn't bring glory and honor to the Lord. So why are you crying? I don't know. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit. I don't know. Well, don't. Suck it up. Be good. No, feel it. Feel those emotions. Go for it. God gave them to us. Why would God give us an emotion and then tell us not to use it? I mean, I remember him getting mad. I remember him weeping. I remember him getting away with the Father and just prostrating and just crying out. And there's even a scripture somewhere in Romans, perhaps, it says that even when I don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit will pray for me in crying and wailing. He knows the words. So isn't that contradicting what the enemy's telling us? Just a thought. What would they think? So we go along ignoring our hurts, and we go along not being honest on how we really are, and those inner thoughts and temptations that we fight daily and keeping them inside makes us angry. They even make us sick. They're not validating the feelings and emotions that God's given us. And after a while, it will cause us to explode like a volcano or just wilt away. Just wilt away, go away in defeat and believe the lie that it's impossible to measure up because you're supposed to be perfect. Well, let me tell you, you're going to be perfect when you see the face-to-face to Christ. Because in Philippians 1:6, it says, to be confident that that which he has started in you, he will complete it even as unto death. So, I love our motto. If you haven't noticed, the motto of Harvest Christian Assembly is the perfect place for those who aren't. Amen. And that's me. On our own, we cannot. But with the Holy Spirit and being honest with our emotions, we can embrace them. We can validate them. And even, this is it, ask, why am I feeling this way? And then work it out. Validate it. Work it out. Why am I feeling the way I am? Then you can act upon what God wants you to accomplish, knowing you are loved and can love others because you're learning to know who you are and you love yourself. Amen? Being honest and open and restored and free and able to accomplish what the Father has asked us to do for his glory. Nothing like walking in faith and hope. Repent means to turn the other way. That's what repent means. So when we repent and ask God in our heart, we're turning actually the other way and going the opposite, away from what we were doing. We're getting rid of the crud. We're getting rid of the sin. We're getting rid of doubt or lack of. We're filling in the blank with whatever it is. We are broken vessels that God can use in our weaknesses and failures. God can take them and make them beautiful for his glory and set us free. Just be honest with yourself and find someone to be accountable to and begin to heal and become healthy and bloom in what God wants you to be and be free. And how can we love others as ourselves if we do not love ourselves? It is okay to show meekness and humility. Gee, those actually are fruit of the Spirit. Go figure. The other stronghold is communicating. And these are the two most important. Communication is everything, and I just feel God wants me to share this with you. I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to go off on a squirrel run. It says, the devil knows if a Christian, this is really, if a wife and husband, and even better if you're saved, Christian, begin to communicate correctly, the strongholds will be broken off and everything changes in that moment. Families are a target, and the family of God is also a target. The enemy hates us. He wants us to be defeated. He wants to take us out. Talking open and being totally honest with what is bothering you or express what your needs are brings a feeling of validation that you are being accepted, heard, and affirmed. And we call that an aha moment. You're being accepted, letter A. You're being heard, letter H. And then you're being affirmed, letter A. Aha. Okay? Aha, we need to listen and be able to repeat back what we have heard instead of thinking of what we are going to say while they're still talking. This is a communication problem basically between men and women. A man wants to help a woman get better, right? But sometimes, us ladies, we just want you just to be there, hug us, don't fix us. Go figure. Right? Yeah, that's communication. And then the other communication is when the man's talking to the woman and the woman's already in her mind thinking what she's going to say back before he even gets done talking. Am I the only one? All right. So if the woman is not listening to the man and the man's not listening to the woman, then there's some kind of lack of communication, right? All right. So this is what the Lord has laid on my heart for you, okay? In communicating. It's real important because there's a mandate. When one is talking, the other one is not talking. That's a novel idea, huh? And also the other one is listening, because they're going to be asked to repeat back what the other one has said. Yeah. And if they don't repeat back what was said, then they get to hear it again until they do hear it. That's communication, because you're my husband. We do this. Do we not do this? We do this, okay? I am not sharing anything with you that we do not do, okay? Get on with it. So, if you, husbands and wives, or daughters and mothers, or fathers and sons, it can be anybody. In a communication, God gave us two ears for a reason. I'm so glad he didn't give me two mouths. That would be terrible. Say, oh, four mouths going on at the same time. Yeah, married to a pastor, likes to talk. All right. But communication, back to communication, okay? I'm almost done. Is this good or should I skip it? You want me to skip it? Okay. Communication is so important. And that's why the enemy is making you tired and you're falling asleep, because he doesn't want you to hear this. But if we would learn to look the other person in the eyes, eye contact, keep our concentration, and really listen to what they're saying, and then repeat back what they say, then you're hearing, you're communicating, and pretty soon it becomes really easy. And then you're communicating with others. At first it's going to be weird, especially for the men, because they're like physical, women are emotional, they talk a lot. But you got to let her finish. Okay? Got to let her finish. All right? Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you today, because there's a stronghold of communication in life in general. And if you can break that stronghold and have good communication, the enemy has no more effect on you, and he can't. And then you have broken the thing off of the generation. I'm telling you, it works. And this is my philosophy: listen more and speak less. Yeah. That's good, huh? All right, we're almost done. Where are we at? Invite Christ, right? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You've been redeemed. Open up your life. Be transparent. Let God in and let go and let God. Say that three times fast. Let go. No, that's not right. Let God in and let go and let God. Learn to trust him. Believe his word. Be free from shame, guilt, anything that is holding you back from really doing the work of the ministry. We are not a religion. Okay, this is my belief is this is not religion. This is a relationship. We have a relationship with a living, loving, eternal God who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light to show forth his glory, honor, and power using a vessel of clay. That's what we are. Glory to God. Ephesians 4:32 is the next one. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Here we go. We already talked about it. So there's only one thing highlighted. If we can't or won't forgive God, then God can't and won't forgive us our trespasses. Okay? I can think of many times over my life where I blew it, and I asked for forgiveness from God. Is it worth missing heaven over unfairness? Is it worth missing heaven over pride? Is it worth missing heaven over holding a grudge? Nothing, huh? Is it worth missing heaven by getting even? Is it worth missing heaven by being right and even being right all the time? What about my pride? They are laughing at me. It's exhausting to think that way. The enemy, he's good. He likes to lie. And not only that, but it makes you sick. So hold on to unforgiveness is not a good thing. We want to forgive. Amen. And I have a stump, but I'm not going to talk about this stump because of time. We'll go on. The last one. Is it the last one? Yes. Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then in Psalms 46, it says to be still and know that I am God. Every situation, I said every Every day, every situation we go through, God already knew it. God already approved it. God's already has the path. He's already presented the tools that you need to get through it. Most people ask God to take it away or get me out of it. But I'm going to tell you today that God has a plan and a purpose and a reason for you walking through it. Learn what it is. Ask God, what is it you want me to learn through this? And then use it. Put it in your toolbox. For our growth and for His glory is why we go through these things. Okay? Learn to expect God's goodness in every situation. He loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. Surrender today to God and let Him have complete control. Begin to take baby steps of faith and allow God to use you for His glory. His ways are the better way. His thoughts are the better thoughts. And just step out and do, be, and go for Him. Enjoy your life. Amen? Amen. So these are our golden scriptures, golden nuggets. Put it in your Bible and keep it, because this is how to enjoy your life. Amen? Amen. All right, Pastor Shane.
Amen. That was good. That was good. Faith felt a little uncomfortable. She stared at me the whole time. Wow. She was, man. She was staring me down. I'm going to sit in the back row next time so I can think she's looking at somebody else. Man, I forgot to finish what I was talking about, and the Lord's been talking to me about it all morning. We're thinking about Friday night or Saturday evening for our men's meeting. And so give that some thought. Give me a call. Talk to me about it, whatever.
What time are you thinking?
In the evening. It'll be probably in the evening. I want to make sure people have time to get home from work. We want to do it toward the end of the week because people have to get up and go to work. And it's just too important. It's just too important to not deal with this.
Amen.
Amen. You would be surprised if you knew the men that are battling things. Prolific authors that are running into the back of other cars because of some blonde running down the road in a bikini. Crashed his car. A Mercedes at that. Which is, what's even worse is he crashed into a Chevelle. Oh, Lord. Forgive him. Forgive him, Lord. Guys, it's important, and I beseech you on behalf of the Lord to be there. Amen?
Amen?
Bow your heads with me. Maybe you're here today and this message somehow has touched you and stirred your heart. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord. You don't know what the stuff that Tammy was talking about golden nuggets. Golden nuggets that doesn't mean anything to you. Having a relationship with the Lord doesn't mean anything to you because you don't know anything about it. But I'm here to tell you that if you'll accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will have a relationship. Your life will begin to change. Things will begin to clear up in your life. You will have a purpose and you will have a hope. So with heads bowed and people praying, eyes are closed, everybody's praying. If that's you today and you say, preacher, I need Jesus. I've never accepted him, but today I want to know that I'm going to make heaven my home. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to just slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you today. Maybe you just need to recommit your life to the Lord. That's happened a lot. I've done it a lot of times. Anybody at all say, yep, that's me. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Somebody else today say, preacher, that's me. I need to recommit my life to Jesus Christ. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Yes, ma'am. I see your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else. Preacher, that's me. Listen, I'm going to ask you to get out of your comfort zone and come and meet me right here at this altar. If you raised your hand, I want you to come right up here. I want to pray with you. Come on, get up and come. Come on. Come on. This is why I do not like cords. Thank you, Lord. Get in here, young lady. You know what I've noticed about you all this morning? Yeah, I know you don't want me to say it, but I'm going to anyway. The Holy Spirit's been all over you today. You're not here today by accident. You're here today for this very moment. And I want you to know I'm proud of you for it. I'm proud of you for it. I'm proud of you guys stepping up and saying, hey, you know what? If I'm not sure, I'm going to be before this day's over. Amen. We ain't promised tomorrow. We are not promised tomorrow. Amen. Get up here and stand with your mama. Come up here and stand with your mama. Come up here. What a joy. What a great Mother's Day. I just let them have this little moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's on now. I want you to just repeat this simple little prayer. Say, dear Lord, I thank you for this day. For this opportunity to ask you again to come into my heart, to wash me, to cleanse me, to restore me to all that you would have me be. I promise I'm going to walk with you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just tell you this. Let me just tell you this. The Bible says that the steps of a righteous man, and when he says man there, it's a non-gender specific term, but he says that the steps of a man are ordered of the Lord. And though he stumble, he's not utterly cast down because he's upheld by the gracious hand of the Lord. And so I feel like you need to hear that today, because there's going to come times when you feel like you've stumbled and that you've messed up. I've given in again. I blew it again. I blah, blah, blah. Listen, the steps are ordered of the Lord. He has made provision that he holds you up with his mighty arm. Amen. God bless you guys. Let these people minister to you just for a moment. Amen. Go ahead, guys. The rest of you, God bless you. God go with you. Have a great day. Guys, get back with me. Let me know. Communicate to me what day is going to be better for you. Amen. God bless you. God go with you. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.